Jay, is that Average White Band? Pick up the pieces? Wow, a Wayback Machine here. It's a Drive Guys. And we have on TNT right now in our studios the tournament game between the Knicks and the Bucks. It stings to be out of the tournament, yeah. And I didn't think it would. I just felt, Kyle, I know we've discussed this, but I felt that the Kings getting through the group stage, that it was just a given. They're going to get to Vegas. They're going to get there. What's going to happen there? I don't know. But the Pelicans had other plans last night, and here we are facing, for Kings fans who've known disappointment for many years, a new kind of disappointment, frankly. The disappointment of getting knocked out of the play-in, or excuse me, the in-season tournament.
Yeah, it's you know, and I got the vibe there last night at the arena, and even before the game, that it was a big game, and this was a sort of a litmus test for the Kings to be able to compete in a big game. Let's see how they come in a team that you're supposed to be better than, but clearly it's a tough matchup playing the Pelicans, obviously, and people left disappointed there, no doubt. Disappointed last night.
I got to push back on the notion that Sabonis was dominated by Kareem Abdul-Valanciunas. And I know Valanciunas is a monster, and he had 18 points last night on 11 shots. He played well, and there were times when, I think it was Mark Spears told us that no one in the league posts up from 1 foot away like Valanciunas does. So he had a nice game, but he fouled out. And Sabonis had a triple-double. And 26 on 12 shots. So, and he had 10 assists. So I know physically, you know, and that's that way for Valanciunas with a lot of guys. But Sabonis, that's a tough matchup for him. But Sabonis more than held his own, I think, overall.
No, I think so. And, you know, I mentioned there was a stretch in the first half where I thought Valanciunas owned him. You know, I think it was back-to-back possessions. But if you look at the totality of the night, Sabonis more than held his own against Valanciunas. Like, the effort was there, the energy was there. Sure, he didn't always have the results. Valanciunas 18-11, but if we're talking about reasons they lost the game, Sabonis Valanciunas matchup isn't 1, 2, or 3, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. Question here from Linda, and I know Linda's a big fan of yours, so I want to get to Linda's question here in the YouTube chat. Listen to the show pretty much every day. Got to make it every day, Linda. That's not good. That's good, but. Anyway, I'm disappointed. I'm a disappointed Kings fan. Curious to know, who was supposed to be guarding B.I. last night?
Keegan Murray got that assignment a lot. I think what you saw, too, is Zion was at the top of the scouting report. I don't know this for sure, but, you know, I would imagine. And so they spent so much time focusing on Zion. And let's not forget, too, Brandon Ingham's a hell of a player. Let's give him some respect. It's not like it was, you know, some bum that just all of a sudden got 30. This is a former all-star.
At his best, he is Durant-ish.
Exactly. He's like, you know, a step below Durant. He's Durant-light. Long, lengthy, gets to his spots. The mid-range is unbelievable. And so, let's be honest. We don't have anybody that can guard a guy like Brandon Ingram. What's Ingram, 6'10"? Come on. We don't have anybody. Even if you throw Keegan at 6'8 on him, it's going to be a tough matchup.
339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. Let's see what George has to say. Joining us here on Sackdown Sports. Hello, George. How are you? You disappointed today, George?
Thank you guys for taking my call. Yes, I am. If my math is correct, 3 times 0 equals 0, 2 times 1 equals 2. The Kings are so much in love with the threes, and I'm sure you guys know that DeRozan made a living, and he's a multi-all-star, shooting the mid-range and attacked the basket, and he got into the foul line, and he made his threes that way. But for some reason, nobody's telling the players that let's quit the threes. Okay, shoot the good three, but if you don't have the good three, just go ahead and attack the basket. I don't think I'm going to drop that one on the coach. And I know that Malcolm Fox actually attacks the basket, and I know we're harping on Barnes. Barnes is capable of doing that. If you look at the game, most of the time, the coach having Barnes parked at the three-point line, either on the right side or on the left side. How is he going to produce to you if you just park him on the right and the left and everybody else on the perimeter trying to shoot threes?
Thank you, George. Appreciate your call.
What you're trying to do?
Got it. Yeah, thanks. Did he say Malcolm Fox?
That was,
I mean, you know, I know people, you're not used to being on the radio, and maybe I misheard him, but if you, you know, if you said Malcolm Fox and, you know, probably let you go too long.
Right.
But thanks. A lot of fans have called with that today about, hey, they're shooting too many threes. Last night, the Kings shot 34% from three. That's not good. They're capable of better, but that's not terrible.
It's not terrible. And Whitey, when you look at the culprits, Kevin Huerter last night, 2 of 7. So you want me to tell Kevin Huerter don't shoot threes? Are we really? De'Aaron Fox has to be better, 1 of 7.
Malcolm has to be better.
Malcolm Fox has to be better. Trey Lyles, if they're good looks, I'm okay with Trey. He only took three. So when we look at 34%, really only two guys, and I could throw Trey in there, three guys struggle from three. Harrison Barnes, 1 of 3. That's not a big sample size.
Right.
Keegan, 4 of 8. Domas, 0 of 1. I'm not worried about that. Malik Monk, 5 of 9. What? Not worried about that. Keon Ellis, 1 of 2. Not worried about that. Sasha Vezenkov, 0 of 1. So really,
you're starting backcourt.
Yeah. You're starting backcourt going 3 of 14. That's what brought the number
down.
You're
right, George.
Now, if you want to tell Kevin Huerter to stop shooting threes, go for it. Kevin Herter's good enough to, you know, keep shooting those threes. If they're good looks, shoot the threes. De'Aaron Fox, 1 of 7. I go back to what we said last segment. What kind of threes were they? Were they off the dribble? Were they catch and shoot? And so don't fall in love with the, oh, they took 41 threes. Fall in love with, did they take good shots or not? That's the key in the NBA.
How many, do you know, how many do they want to take a night? 40 is the
45.
Number, isn't it?
45 is the number. Mm-hmm. They want to take 45 threes a game. It's interesting. I think Boston wants to shoot close to 50 a game. That's just the way the NBA is right now. Now, if you want to, you know, if we had a low post, you know, Domas, you know, would take 25 shots. We ran it through him at the, but the way the Kings offense is predicated, the three is the first, second, and third option. And then you know, obviously the mid-range, but they want to get layups and they want to get threes. Last night, the threes didn't fall. I hear anybody complaining in that first quarter when the threes were going down, Whitey, when the Kings as a team shot 7 of 11 from three.
Yeah,
11 threes in the first quarter wasn't too many, was it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so don't all of a sudden this Monday morning quarterback, oh, we shouldn't have taken too many threes. If you watch the game, they were good looks. And the crowd was hanging on each one, man.
I do think there are times, this is me talking,
yeah,
when De'Aaron falls in love with the three too much. I understand why he's their best player, and I think he's got a stubbornness that best players have sometimes when they feel like, if we're going to win, I got to start producing. I think that's one area of growth for him. He's a phenomenal player, their best player, third team all league. But I do think sometimes he needs to trust his teammates more when the three ball's not falling. That said, what did you think last night had to say about where the Kings still need to be better as a team? Obviously, you got to start with defense again.
Yeah, I think so. You know, and Mike Brown is preaching it and preaching it this year. You got to be better. You got to be much improved defensively. And I do think the effort is there, Whitey. We just aren't seeing the results out there. You know, when you look at defensive rating for the Kings this season, they're 20th in the NBA. A little bit better than what they were, but that's nothing to home, you know, write home about. Like, Phoenix has a better defensive rating.
And they were higher, as we discussed yesterday. The Kings were higher than that.
They're actually trending in the wrong direction right now. And so they have to be better defensively. And, you know, it's interesting when you look at it, and this is really alarming to me as I dig deeper into the box score. They're minus 0.7 in net rating. So that's offensive rating versus defensive. So what we're seeing is the Kings' defense is a little bit better, but the offense has dropped big time so far this season. And it's been better ever since De'Aaron Fox came back. But they're 13th in the NBA in offensive rating, where they were number one last year.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's an issue also.
Yeah, I know last year that was one of the answers to questions about their defense. Like, well, they're scoring a lot more. Net rating, they were one of the better teams in the league.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And I will say this about the Kings, and we said it earlier. They have a better record right now this season than they did last season. But Mike Brown is playing a long game here. It's not about how you're playing right now. He's trying to get this team to a point where they're playing elite on both ends of the floor. I don't know if they'll ever be a top 10 defensive team, but he's not even asking that. He's asking them to be 15. And so I think, you know, now they're still learning. They're still trying to figure it out. Maybe Monty makes some moves, but to get to where they want to go, make a deep playoff run, they got to improve on that end.
Mike Brown is trying to get the Kings to play the type of basketball, especially defensively, night in, night out, that translates once you get into the postseason. He obviously right. knows what it takes to succeed in the postseason. And last year, the way the Kings played, as much fun as that was, clearly the coach feels like that ain't going to get it done in the postseason.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, I know they played better defense in the postseason. But when you look at the playoffs, it's also about standings, records, seedings, matchups, things like that. And so, you know, we talked about it earlier. Denver was not a great defensive team last year.
Middle of the pack, exactly.
But they were elite offensively, and they played defense, you know, at the correct time, you know, in crunch time, obviously. And so I'm actually more okay with last night's loss than I was, you know.
The Clippers?
Yeah, the Clippers even. Like, Clippers, I gave them a pass last night. It's a tough matchup, and this Pelicans team is good, and Brandon Ingram is a former All-Star. We got to be better. I'm not blaming it on the offense. Defense, they got to be better.
We'll get right back to the phones when we come back. 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. Also coming up, got to hear what Kyle the Eagles fan thinks of Stephen A's bold take on the fight for the top spot in the NFC. That more coming up here with the Drive Guys. People on the YouTube chat are leaping to the defense of, I think it was George, who I thought said something about Malcolm Fox. People say, no, he said Monk and Fox. He didn't even say Malcolm Fox, and now that's a thing. Why'd he cut him off? So I'm not sure, George, if you didn't say Malcolm Fox, I apologize. I also I wish you had, because I kind of like now the idea of Malcolm Fox. That's a thing, yeah. On the text line here, some interesting comments from the 916. Let's not forget, De'Aaron had probably his worst game as a King that I can remember seeing ever, especially in the first half. And yeah, and I thought New Orleans had a lot to do with that, the way they were defending him. And I've never seen a team pick his pockets like that.
Yeah, and they've been, you know, a real challenge for De'Aaron all season long. You know, I mentioned it earlier, some of the three-point numbers in the three games. I think it was 5 of 24 or 25, I think it was, so far this season in the three games against the Pelicans. And they do a great job, man. They got great on-ball defenders. They got pests. They got tenacious players. You know, when you look at it in the three games, the first game, De'Aaron Fox, 5 of 18. Second game, 9 of 17. Last game, 10 of 25. Let's do the math. I'll do the math real quick. 24 of 60 from the field for De'Aaron Fox. You know, that's below 50%. You know, that's below 40%.
That's like high 30s.
Exactly. And so it's been an issue. And then you also throw in the turnover factor. You know, he had 2 the first game, 2 the second game, 6 last night. That can't happen. Your point guard, he can't be turning it over 60 times.
De'Aaron Fox plays here.
Yeah, Malcolm Fox.
Malcolm, yeah. Not Malcolm.
That's the De'Aaron. Name. If De'Aaron Fox ever has a game like that again, it's like, oh, that's Malcolm Fox.
Yeah, it's Malcolm Fox.
That wasn't De'Aaron. That was Malcolm Fox.
That's like
Fox.
The anti-Herter. Yes. You know, like when Herter goes off, it's Kayvon, Kavon. It's Malcolm Fox. That's a good one.
How about this? I, for one, am kind of glad they're done with this silly tournament. Now let's focus on the real trophy. I wish I felt that way, but
come on.
I like that, but I just don't feel that way.
Who said that? Come on. That's a loser's. That's for people who aren't in the tournament anymore, right? You know, is that Freddie DeFan in his mom's basement saying that? Come on now. We're better than that.
This is probably Freddie the Fan. Need dogs. HB ain't a dog. He's a sleeping dog.
Oh my gosh, that's totally Freddie the Fan. That's total need dogs. What does that mean? Come on, man. This is basketball.
You and JaVale McGee started that.
Exactly.
JaVale
McGee said they got dogs.
Uh-huh.
You want a team 15 dogs? It's not going to happen. You know, Harrison Barnes plays his role extremely well for this Kings team.
Yeah.
That's it. Now you want him to be something else. All of a sudden you want him to be a dog. All of a sudden you want him to be a 20. He's not that. He is who he is.
He's a dog, but he's like a husky. He's not like a junkyard dog. He's like one of those really, really pretty purebred, nice.
I don't know how I'm taking that. I don't know how I'm taking that. What you're just saying.
Well, I'm saying he's not
right.
He's like
a
sturdy, dependable kind of dog.
Exactly.
He's a working dog.
Yeah, exactly.
And those
he
are
is
very
Saint
important.
Bernard. Somebody like that. You know, something like that. That's what he is.
339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. Antonio joins us on Sacktown Sports. Hello, Antonio.
What's going on, y'all?
What's up, man? What's going on?
Man, you know, I'm just driving home in this traffic, so I wanted to holler at y'all.
What you got?
I wanted to let everybody know, don't lose those marbles over losing to the Pelicans. They are who they're supposed to be. They are where they're supposed to be. They have the number one pick in Zion. You got a number two draft pick in Ingram. You went in the offseason and made trades and did what you needed to do. You got McCollum. You got Valanciunas. These are all great pickups, and those pickups are starters. We have the Kings have made trades, but we're making trades for bench players, you know, maybe even six men, but they're not starters. So how do we expect to keep balling with these guys who got number one picks, number two picks, and making good trades? We need a big man. We need a big man bet. We traded for Sabonis. I love Sabonis. Great numbers. But we traded for a guy who's a power forward naturally. He played power forward under Miles, who was playing center. And we put him out power forward, and what are we doing?
All right, I appreciate that. And, yeah. You know, when I look at Domantas Sabonis, and I want to have this conversation here, Whitey, because, you know, that last caller and people on the YouTube, this has been a big issue here. He's a power forward. We talked about it offensively, the kind of guy you would need to pair him with, maybe a Lopez, maybe a Porzingis. Let's talk defensively. I just pulled up the Hoops Hype NBA rankings, top 24 power forwards in the league. So these are the guys Domas would have to guard, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Number one, Giannis.
Don't like okay. that matchup.
Don't like that matchup, all right. They got Anthony Davis at two, but he's not. He's a five, okay? So I'm going to skip that. Pascal Siakam.
That's a tough matchup for
Tough matchup for Domas.
Get out on the perimeter.
On the perimeter,
yeah.
Right? Okay. Yeah. All right, number four, Zion.
Don't like that either.
Don't like that matchup. Number five, Karl-Anthony Towns. He's going to have to chase him around.
Yeah,
Towns
yeah.
is a perimeter guy, too.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
All right, okay. Number six, Jaren Jackson Jr. Maybe, because you don't have to, you know, worry about the handles as mm-hmm. much. So maybe he guards that. Number seven, Paolo Banchero. Ugh, yeah, that's tough. That's tough. Number eight, Lowry Markkanen.
No.
Markkanen, is that right?
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
I do,
this is
I
what I'm
you.
Saying. It's like, you know what? Move Sabonis to the four. Go for it. The issue isn't the offense. It's the defense.
Yes.
And now
yes.
you move Sabonis to an even more difficult position for him to guard at the four spot. It just doesn't make sense.
Right. What are people saying? And thank you. I think it was Antonio. Are they saying you got to get another center or like pair Sabonis with Trey or with JaVale McGee?
I don't know what people are saying. I think people are saying Alex Leonard, JaVale McGee at the five, or go out there and get a different five to pair with Sabonis.
I will say this on Media Day, Sabonis. No, it was actually
Alex Len, right?
Alex Len told us, yep. Yeah, we might do that. I will also say that Kyle Draper has never been a fan of that, and I don't think we've seen that at all.
I think we saw maybe like 30 seconds,
okay.
one
yep.
game. It
uh-huh.
just is not going to work, people. Not as well as this roster is currently constructed. I've said it before. You need a shooting big to pair with Sabonis. Because if you get another non-shooting big, then you can really shrink the floor. Think about it. If Domas is playing the four and he's hesitant to shoot the outside shot now, like he's going to need to shoot that, you know, if he's playing the four and he's just not comfortable with that.
I think more than another big or more than a big and then slide Sabonis to four, what the Kings could really use, and this is too much for him to have a realistic chance of getting, but you'd be a 3-and-D wing and a big guard who can defend. And, you know, that's
right.
With your roster, you're not going to get both those things. But that's defensively, because that's what you need. As far as Domas moving to four, that just makes things worse. That doesn't actually
right.
help anything.
Yeah, exactly. And then you look at offensively, if you put him out there with an Alex Len or a JaVale McGee, he's trying to facilitate. Where are those guys operating at? You know? And so Lopez, like I said, a Brook Lopez would have been perfect. Kristaps Porzingis would have really been perfect. You know, that would have been. Oh, but, you know, you got to go with what you have. And they've hitched their wagon to Domantas Sabonis. Now you have to try to build around him the best possible unit around him.
Did you know, you may have known this, this was before you got here, it looked like there was a chance the Kings could have gotten Kristaps Porzingis.
That was before me, yeah.
And that was when the Kings had a chance to draft Luka, and then the Knicks, and their GM at the time had been with the Kings, was like, all right, well, you give us Fox and we'll give you Kristaps. And if that's true, that was talked about, the Kings could have ended up with Luka
and Kristaps
Porzingis. I mean, it's worked out fine, but
We saw how that worked in Dallas, though.
Briefly,
but Porzingis is he's nice, man. He's playing well for Boston, even though he's hurt right now. I like his game and what he brings to the table right now.
Yeah, 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. Tin joins us on Sackdown Sports. Hello, Tin.
Hey, Whitey. Hey. Hope you enjoyed Japan.
Thank you. Yes, it was marvelous. Thanks for asking.
Hey, so what do you guys think about Harrison Barnes only taking 2-3 shots in a cash prize tournament? Doesn't that go to show, like, HB's not all about the money?
Well, he got enough money, I'm sure. $500,000 probably wouldn't change his life. But the three shots, you know what? It is concerning. Yes, you would like him to shoot more, but don't act like this is just – I broke down his game log, you know? Usually he's right around 7 to 11 shots per game, and that's exactly where he should be. Last night, remember, he's guarding Zion on the other end. He's got his hands full down there. And we know this about Harrison Barnes. If the shot's there, he's going to take. I've never heard anybody say, oh, man, Harrison, why are you taking up that, passing up that shot?
Yeah, I don't recall that last night.
Right, I don't recall that. Mm-hmm. So we're reacting to the box score after the fact. Oh, he only took 3 shots, so we can't do that, man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a good point. I wonder, I'd have to check the numbers. You may know this off the top of your head. When Harrison Barnes gets fewer shots, I mean, a very low number like last night, is that sometimes an indicator that the offense isn't functioning at a very high level?
That's a good question. And let me, I got the game log right here, and we can go through it really quickly here. Just this season, when you look at Harrison Barnes, the 16 shots in the opener, they won that game by 16. It's hard to see. They don't list scores, you know. And let's look at the splits in wins and losses. How about that? Mm-hmm. Can we do that? Mm-hmm. I think that's a barometer as well. In wins, Harrison Barnes averages – pop-up's killing me, man. In wins, Harrison Barnes is averaging 12.2 points. In losses, he's –
You have attempts, and I don't mean it. Yeah.
In attempts – they don't do it per game.
All right. Sorry.
But he has 52 attempts. No, excuse me, 101 attempts in 11 games, 58 in 8 games.
Mm-hmm.
But how about this number right here? So his attempts are way down in losses.
Yeah.
But 12.2 points he averages in wins, 11.4 in losses.
Hmm. So he's not as efficient
right.
in the losses.
Right. Exactly. No, he's more efficient in the losses, right? Yeah, he shoots better from 3 in the losses. He's 17 of 38
points,
in the losses.
More points, fewer shots. Okay,
more points, fewer shots.
In that's the losses.
In the losses,
wow.
Yes. That's interesting. That's,
yeah.
I don't know what we make of that, but you know, if you want to say,
confused.
Well, if Harrison shoots more, we win. Well, but his scoring is the same in wins and losses. 12.2 versus 11.4. That's not a big difference.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is interesting. I need a timeout to kind of ponder that.
Yeah, think about that. What does that mean, right?
I'm getting an ice cream headache with those numbers. We're back with more on that. More of your calls, 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. Still got to get to Stephen A's take on the battle.
Do we have to?
Been saving this for you. It's coming up here, Sacktown Sport. All right, here's a question on the text line that gets to the heart of some of the things we've been throwing around today. Is this from Freddie the Fan? I don't know. The question is here. Talking about Harrison Barnes, quote, what role is that? He's not defending. He's not scoring. What is he doing that deserves minutes? That's a question here, as I say, on the text line, 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140, about HB Harrison Barnes.
I think when you look at Harrison Barnes, and this is not to make an excuse, his numbers are down. He's not playing, great right now. But there are a number of guys we can do that with. Are we really going to, I think Harrison Barnes as your sixth option? Do we want our sixth option to average 18 points too? It's like you can't. I'm looking at the numbers right here.
Yeah.
De'Aaron Fox, 30 points per game. He's raised his game. Domantas Sabonis, 19 points per game, 12 rebounds, 7 assists. Like we said, that's what he's going to give you. Malik Monk playing lights out, 14.8. The problem is they need that third scorer. It's not Harrison Barnes. Keegan Murray is averaging 12.9 points per game. He averaged 12.2 last season. We're going to give him a pass. Obviously, he's dealing with the back injury. But I mentioned it earlier, and you know, when we were talking here with Jay off air, he shot 41.1% from three last year, 30.8% from three this year. And so we can talk about Harrison Barnes all you want, but we don't need to upgrade that position if Keegan's development comes. That's what I'm saying. Keegan is that guy, supposed to be that guy everybody wants to go out there and get.
Yeah, as far as that goes, anyone who's had back issues knows how problematic that can be. As Jay said a few moments ago off the air, you know, back thing is not necessarily something where you go, all right, take a few days off and then you'll be fine. You know, it's right. Just doesn't work that way. As far as Keegan shooting, really interesting quote today in The Athletic. Anthony Slater talked to Sabonis after the game last night about the offense, and Sabonis basically said, last year we had a lot of guys who had career years, and we have to counter now. Teams have scouted us. We have to counter. In other words, it's not going to be as easy to do. So that's one of the things they're going through offensively. And finally here, third and finally, to this question about Harrison Barnes, I would not say he's not defending. Now, he's not scoring like he did, scoring down, and he's not a great defender, but he's not a terrible defender, especially on this team.
Right.
In my opinion, it's not accurate to say Harrison Barnes is not defending. If he's not defending, yeah, you sit him down. But actually, on this team, I think he's still one of your better defenders.
No, exactly. Who else? I mean, and Keegan's dealing with the back, so his defense is limited right now.
Yeah.
Obviously, who else are we going to play? So let's say you take Harrison Barnes out the starting lineup. Who are we starting? That's the question I'm posing to the people out there. Who are we starting?
Freddie Fan says, Sasha. I want to see Sasha. He's MVP. Put Sasha in there and let him play 30 minutes and let's see what happens.
Let's see what happens, huh?
Yeah.
We're going to disrespect Harrison Barnes that much. We're talking about the sixth option.
You asked Freddie the Fan a question. Prepare to be
Freddie the
disrespected. 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. Casey on Sacktown Sports. Hey, Casey, how are you?
Hey, guys, how you doing? I'm doing good.
Good. What's happening?
So a couple of problems I see with the Kings. The first is a personnel issue. We came into the season talking about how this team was, you know, about 10 deep and five good guys coming off the bench. And right now we don't know what we're going to get from anybody coming off the bench other than Monk. And we really lack depth on the bench. As far as the wing position, we have no wings other than Kessler Edwards. And Kessler Edwards, every time he plays, he's okay at defense, but when he gets the ball, he looks scared, and he doesn't really look like he knows what he's going to do with the ball. You saw that in the Warriors game where the ball came right to him, and he just dropped it out of bounds. And, you know, the thing with Harrison Barnes is that people are expecting Harrison Barnes to still be like a two or three, a second or third option. He's a sixth option, like you said, Drapes, but he's getting – second or third option minutes. He's fourth on the team in minutes, and he's putting up those points. If he was playing 20 minutes and putting up those points, then that would be fine. But there's no reason Barnes in 34 minutes, he has so much more skill than to put up three shots. And you say he put up three shots, but one of those shots was in the last 10 seconds last night. So he really put up two shots the whole game.
But nobody's arguing that Harrison Barnes needs to be better than last night. I'm saying this narrative is totally – he's had one game with three shots, one game with four shots. Routinely, he's been between 7 and 12. So I think you're doing there's a lot of Monday morning quarterbacking here. Oh, let me wake up. Why did we lose that game? Let me look at the box score. And we can't do that. Like, where was everybody straight games in double figures? Nobody was complaining then. And so you got to allow a guy to have a bad game.
I agree, and I'm not saying that – I'm not putting the blame on Harrison. I'm just pointing out that it's a personnel issue. It's not a Harrison Barnes issue. We don't have a wing to come in and replace him. So he is our sixth best option, and he's putting up decent numbers for his sixth option, but he's playing more than sixth option player minutes because we don't have a better person to come in and spell him. You know what I'm saying? He's playing 30-plus minutes a game, but who are we going to bring in? There's nobody on our bench. Do we have one person on our bench that's consistent that we know night in and night out that's going to get 20 points or 15 points off the bench other than Monk? Monk's the only guy we can count on off the bench. Our bench is probably the worst in the NBA right now. Let's be honest. It is absolutely a horrendous thing.
But they've been banged up. Let me say this, though.
Thank you, Casey.
Thanks, Casey. We're talking about, and I pulled up the Boston Celtics, best team in the NBA right now, record-wise. Their fourth leading minutes guy is Derek White. He's averaging 14.5 points per game. It's not like Harrison Barnes is averaging six points per game. Their sixth best guy averages 10 points per game. So Harrison Barnes, let me see, 1, 2, 3, 4. So Harrison Barnes is statistically better than their sixth best guy. And so what do we want from HB? This is killing me, man.
I don't know that I agree with Casey when he says the Kings have the worst bench in the league, but I do think he's onto something when he talks about how HB is playing more minutes because they don't have a better option. Because wings is the things, and you look at the Kings, comparing them, the Kings' wings, to other teams' wings, and I think there's a little bit of a disparity there in terms of athleticism and size. I do. It's not that these guys, Barnes and Keegan, they're terrible, but as a combination, those two guys compared to some other teams in the league, we saw it specifically last night, I think the Kings are giving up a lot there. That's where I think if you're going to bring in something or someone, a 3-and-D guy, to me, there's a real need for that on this roster.
Well, you know, and you know Ron Adams as well as I do, assistant coach with the Warriors. I go back to the conversation we had. The key to winning is having a bunch of 3-and-D guys. Two-way players.
Yes.
Having a bunch of two-way players, excuse me, not 3-and-D, two-way players. Those guys don't grow on trees.
Right.
Those guys don't grow on trees. And the Pelicans, and let's not forget, the Pelicans have been at this for a while, trying to build this roster. Really, this is the second full year for the Kings.
They've had some ups and downs, too.
And the Pelicans have had some ups and downs. And so they're finally starting to get it together. But they've had some bumps and bruises, some down years. And so I'm not just going to react to last night and say, oh, my gosh, we got to go out and go get Brandon Ingram, or we got to get Zach LaVine. Tweaks need to be made, yes, but calm down, folks. My gosh.
The Keegan issue, whatever it is, if it's an ongoing thing that's really bothering him, which it appears to be, I mean, that's tough on this team right now.
Because, you know, we all know they wanted him to clearly be the third option, maybe even the second option. And if he's at down, and don't forget we didn't have Chris Duarte, now you start to see, and this is what, you know, the Hollingers of the world and everybody talked about King's injuries, but let's not forget, they're doing better right now than they did last season. They just came off a win against the Denver Nuggets. They just beat Golden State last week in an emotionally charged game. And so I'm not going to overreact to losing to the Pelicans. With that being said, if I'm Monty McNair, I'm looking like, okay, Pelicans a tough matchup. What can I do that can help us in that area against them?
Yeah, and that's it. Yeah, you lose a game, okay, but you've lost to the Pelicans three times. Yeah. Twice they kind of shoved you around, so that gives you a little bit of pause and cause you to go, all right, let's reevaluate here. But their front court is spectacular when they're all healthy. Sean joins us on Sacktown Sports. Hey, Sean, you're on with the Drive Guys.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
What's up, guys?
Hey. Yo.
This is the thing. Draper, you're saying that he's our sixth option, but he's our third highest paid player. And that's where the frustration is at, where this offseason we could have gone away from Harrison and got a 3D guy or a two-way guy to plug in there. It was our time to get that guy right now with, you know, De'Aaron still super-duper max hasn't kicked in. Sabonis extension hasn't kicked in. Keegan's still on a rookie contract. We could have got that. There was a lot of small forwards out there that would have fit this team.
All right, tell me who. Give me some names, please. Please give me some names.
Kuzma.
Come on, man. You see what's happening in Washington right now? And I'm a Kuzma guy. Maybe it takes two to – what if Kuzma did not want to come to Sacramento?
How do we know that?
And how do you know he did? How do you know Monty didn't pick
up? Before free agency kicked off. That told me to think about that play right away.
Beamer Beams and Beamley said, don't say Kuzma, caller. And that's the first guy you bring up. When has Kuzma ever won anything? He's a defensive sieve. He's a defensive liability.
I will say this. I think, Sean, thank you, Sean, for the call. Sean, I think, speaks for a lot of fans. A lot of fans feel exactly the way Sean feels. They feel like that was their chance. I agree with you. When you looked at it, that guy wasn't there. To me, that guy, if he was there, was Cam Johnson, and the Nets re-signed him. That guy, that's why the Kings recognize that. It's like, you know what? We're better bringing Harrison Barnes back than we are if we let him go somewhere else. I think they recognize what Sean and everyone else did, but that guy wasn't
right.
Available.
It takes two to tango, you know? First of all of a sudden, is Sacramento now a free agent destination? Everybody wants to come to Sacramento? Come on now.
Uh-huh.
You know, and so when you look at the landscape of the NBA, who's out there, callers? Who's out there, Kings fans, that you wanted Monty McNair to go get? And was it a realistic option? And I just don't see it. I like Kuzma, too, initially. But it just wasn't an option.
Yeah, I'm glad they did.
You were out on that. Yeah.
But if part of the thinking is we bring Harrison Barnes back, we have a contract that we could move. I don't know if this was part of the thinking, but if it was, then that chapter's not written yet. We have to see what they decide to do at the deadline if they bring someone in. Harrison Barnes may be part of that. If they do that, he may not be. But don't assume that, opportunity lost because they brought back Harrison Barnes. Harrison Barnes and his contract, whether it's him directly or not, could still give you an avenue to improving your team at the deadline. So that'll be interesting to see. We got to take a quick time out. Hey, the Return of the Empire guys want to talk to you, Kyle, about what happened.
I'm sure they do.
49er game on Sunday. So Emil and Nate join us next as we get ready for the return of the Empire on Sacktown Sports. Yeah, we're getting ready for the return of the Empire with Emil and Nate. But of course, we've been talking about the Kings and Harrison Barnes most of the show. And Emil, Kyle, it turns out Emil is one of those people that is just about ready to move on from Harrison Barnes, I guess.
Tell me why. Give me something.
There we go.
There we go. Cool.
I don't mean to put you on the spot.
No, look at him. Let's hear it.
No. You got to put him on the spot.
Yeah, let's do it. I want to be on the spot for this. I love Harrison Barnes and everything he's contributed the last 4 years to Sacramento Kings.
He's right here. He's listening.
I'll look at you eye to eye, Harrison, in the little cutout we got up here. Harrison, I love you. I appreciate what you've done since you got here and the leader that you've brought.
You want us to leave the room here?
No. But at the same time, I feel like last night kind of showed that he's not at the level athletically that he was when he first got to Sacramento. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that his shot is falling the same way it has over the last few seasons. And I feel like on that deal, on that contract, it's very much like D'Angelo Russell, very much a flippable contract to get a bigger name.
Yes.
And that's why that's there. You combine that with Kevin and with Davion. You can go out and get a third star. And I've been clamoring for a third star for the Kings since the summer.
Yeah. So I think if they can do something like that, then that's why fans shouldn't overreact or get too upset about the fact that they brought Harrison Barnes back, because they could still, and Harrison Barnes isn't bad. He helps you, but you still have options. You still have a chance to improve.
Correct.
Either at that spot or he can help you improve somewhere else on the roster.
And that's why his number's also depreciating as well over the years.
Yeah.
Contract-wise, yeah.
Yeah. You want any part of that, Nate, or you want to move on to
what happened?
You got an Eagles fan here,
I don't know. I just felt like I was getting a lot of heat, and I didn't even say anything.
You got smoke? You got heat? When?
From you!
Playing Fly Eagles Fly on Friday, singing the song.
James, you come in so hot at me.
No, because you were bothered that I was showing my Eagles fandom.
Yeah.
You were upset.
Yeah,
I should be.
What am I supposed to do?
I was bothered.
What am I supposed to do? What kind of fan would I be if I was like, I'm from Philly, but you know what?
What kind of fan
I like
would
the
I
Niners.
No.
Exactly. I'm an Eagles
You do
guy.
That. It's just, it's a little different. This has been elevated. This has been elevated in the past year.
Yes.
It's gotten out of control. And I'd even say it wasn't a rivalry before this game. It's one game, right? It's one game in the playoffs.
No, you guys, talking about the Niners, you guys were...
I'm one man.
No, you guys. You're in the Niners Nation. You guys are in your feelings about the way the NFC
it's
Championship
upsetting.
Went.
Well,
your boy Debo was feeling
I know,
the type
and
of
then
way.
He scores three touchdowns. He scores three touchdowns. That was wild how much trash he talked and backed it up.
Totally.
I don't know.
Came in the funeral dressed up, black Air Forces, everything.
Off the top of my head, I mean, like, Jordan was kind of the king, trash talk, and then back. Or like Kobe, you always hear stories. I don't know. Like, legendary athletes have that thing. Have you guys ever heard that Pat McAfee story about Peyton Manning?
No.
Where they're out. I think it's McAfee's rookie year, and they're at a casino or something. And, they're playing roulette. Everyone's playing roulette except for Manning, right? Like, a bunch of the dudes are at the table throwing numbers down. Peyton walks by, and he's like, that red 18 looks pretty good, huh, guys? and everyone's like, oh, Peyton Manning says red 18. Let's put it all in the red 18. They roll it, or yes, and it hits, and yes. Everyone's
wow.
And everyone freaks out. I guess some big story they tell. Yeah. But guys like that, I'm not saying Debo's one of those guys
I was about
guys
to
yet.
Say.
Yeah.
What is Debo won?
There's some magical.
Do you remember, remind Nate? Me, what has he won? Has he won anything yet? No. I'm just...
Give it a year.
Okay.
Give it a year. When they had to win the last game, I think it was they had to win the last game of the year in L.A. to get into the playoffs. Remember that?
Yes.
And they did, and there was a crucial play where the 49ers were giving it to Debo. They called a play, and Mike McDaniel told the story, and Debo says, I got it. I'll pick it up. And Mike McDaniel said, I've never heard a player do that before. And that was, you know, years ago he said that about Debo.
I mean, this game, he looks at Ayuk in the huddle, and he goes, meet me in the end zone. And he does. That's when Ayuk slid in. So I think there's so many facts. We talked about this last week. We were like, whoever wins this game is going to be crowned the best in the NFL. For now, right? Power rankings, all that stuff.
Whatever.
Yeah. That's fine. Whatever.
Yeah.
but
it's true.
The Eagles had a lot of factors going against them. This was the perfect week for the Niners to catch them. It really, like, it the was. Stars
man,
did a
lot.
Okay, exactly. I don't even have to say anything this segment.
That. Whitey, stop this right now. I'm not going to lie.
It's 100% true.
Show right
everything was in the Niners' favor.
Rose-colored glasses.
I'm not saying everything.
Slapped around, and I said, they got slapped around. We're not letting them off.
Great teams don't get slapped around.
They got slapped around.
They got
back slapped.
I'm saying they're not a great team. I'm saying the Eagles are not a great team right now.
The Niners bent them over slowly and just
let them go.
If you were to do a power rankings right now, Mr. Whitey Gleason,
I'm not a fan.
Who would be number one in your power rankings
for the NFL
right now?
Oh, right now, I would probably be the 49ers, but I don't do power rankings.
Why don't you do power rankings?
Why not?
Why don't you believe in them?
They're
because he says the power rankings are the standings.
Yes.
Who's
however,
the top team in the NFL when, standings
when
wise?
The two teams play each
other.
That
you can't do that. You can't do that. Yeah. You can't. It's one game. You guys are acting like you won another Super Bowl.
I know. I knew you were going to say that.
Because it's true, right?
Yeah. I know. I don't like all the memes. I don't like all that stuff. Because it is more talk. And when you don't back up your talk, I hate that. I was getting worried before the game. All this trash. I didn't like the stuff after the NFC Championship.
And that's why it was so significant. It wasn't a Super Bowl, but it was a trash talk bowl. Yeah. And you don't want to lose,
it wasn't even for first place, though. It was just one of 17.
I thought what you were saying.
If the Niners lost that game, they're not getting first place. So, in a way, it kind of was.
For them.
Okay. For them. And the Eagles, now, I'm not going to say they're reeling. You have to see what happens with Dallas. This is going to be a wild
game. Let's go. They have the potential to start a
And then Seattle as well.
Let's go to somebody who's impartial here. Let's hear what Stephen A. Smith had to say about the race for the top spot in the NFC today on ESPN. Stephen A. Smith.
I had to pick one of the teams, it would be the Cowboys. I think they have a better shot, believe it or not, in all fairness. I mean, I'm not going to troll them today. I'll save it. but here's what I'm looking at. Dak Prescott's last four starts against the Eagles, 3-1 record, 38.8 points per game.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? 74% completions, 14 TD passes, just two turnovers. I'm thinking about that. I'm thinking about Philly going into Dallas this week, and I'm thinking about Philly having three games in 13 days. I'm thinking about them getting beat up and being tired, and I can see them losing this game. If they lose the division, because right now the momentum is on Dallas's side, not Philadelphia, in my humble opinion. Because of that, I could see Dallas winning the division. If you win the division and you have home field advantage, at least, until you go against San Francisco, unless you get the number one overall seed, let's just hypothetically say they could get the number one seed with their offense. We know what they do defensively, because defensively, when you look at the Eagles right now, total defense, they were ranked number two last year. Second-ranked defense, they're 23rd now. Yeah. Scoring defense, 24th now. Pass defense, 29th, allowing 278 pass yards per game. You just look at the Eagles right now, and they're a shell of what they once were defensively.
Yeah.
Offensively, I believe in A.J. Brown. I believe in Dante Smith. They don't have Dallas Goedert.
But they can't run the ball like they could last year.
I understand that, but I like Swift. I like Swift.
So anyway, long story short,
I think they could do
Stephen
something.
Stephen A. is saying he thinks Dallas is has a better chance of beating the 49ers down the road than the Eagles.
Yeah, but to clarify early in that, he's not saying the Cowboys are better than the 49ers.
Right.
He's saying, because I saw you get upset.
Right.
Yeah, you're right. That's not – because I heard that clip this morning. That whole panel was all over the 49ers this morning. They just kept saying that they're the best team because they have the most talent and they're hitting right now.
Yeah.
And they look a little unstoppable, like Ryan Clark said last night.
But as we know, that the 49ers looked unstoppable before they hit that three-game.
True.
This is
Everyone keeps throwing out
the best team ever.
Everyone's throwing out the health caveat, which of course, and of course with the Niners, like that's been the issue the whole time I've watched them. So I don't know. I don't know. I'm stoked on them right now. I can say that.
All I know is that when the Niners have played the Cowboys and the Eagles, you know what the combined score is of those two games this season? 84-29.
Yeah. Okay.
That's indicative of how powerful the Niners are. When they are right, when they are healthy, they are the best team in football.
But the Eagles aren't healthy. Like, I could argue when the Eagles are right and healthy, I mean, the Eagles
are also
banged
up too.
Not as much as, come on now, not as much
now
as
they
the
are.
Eagles. Not
Eric,
as much
Eric
as
Arms
the Eagles.
Well,
now
they are.
Now they are.
Now they are.
You got to be careful, Emil. They'll pick your words apart. You have to be careful what you say.
And all of a sudden, Emil turns into a Niners fan. He's a Raiders fan, but... You're a turncoat, big dog. You're like the worst kind of Raiders fan.
You're like E-40.
Right, exactly. Oh, wow. You're E-40, a Kings fan. Now all of a sudden he's a Warriors fan. That's how you are right now. You admit it, you're a Warriors fan, but you're taking glee in being a Niners fan.
I'm not
right
a Warriors
now.
Fan.
I mean a Raiders
I'll
fan.
Never in my life will
but
I be
you
a
know,
Warriors fan.
You know what I meant. You're a Raiders fan.
They also in Vegas now. They're not in the same state.
All right, so are you not a Raiders fan anymore?
You it's, are. You said you were.
This guy's like, I know.
I'm telling you,
come on,
man. You can't let him get in.
Throw
like
a pair, Emil.
I know.
This dude backpedaling like Dion.
You're like Jalen Hurts about to fall over under your own weight right now.
Nah, come on.
Nate, take it easy on him. He's struggling right now. He's in his feelings. Take it easy on him.
What do you guys have?
You shouldn't be. The Niners are.
Yeah.
But he's not a Niners fan.
What do you guys have coming up on Return of the Empire?
A lot to talk about. Obviously, Niners, Brock Purdy, MVP likelihood, Chris McCaffrey, MVP likelihood, all that great stuff. How valuable is Juwan Jennings? Because, man, Eli Ricks there on that touchdown.
That was a big
And then, obviously, Debo Samuel and just what he means and why he is the epitome of greatness for this team.
Brock Purdy, 148.8 passer rating, makes him the first ever with 540-plus games in the first 2 years of his career. And no one else has ever done that.
Let me just say, he's pretty damn good.
Six straight games with a completion percentage of 70% or higher. Longest for the 49ers since Joe Montana had 8 in 1989.
Man, I think that might be the greatest football team of all time, 89 Niners.
Really?
Yeah.
They're incredible.
I mean, it's hard. It's like, I want to say, just like Hall of Famers all over on that roster. So, I mean, obviously I didn't get to watch them, but... it's crazy. So.
That's the other thing about the 49ers, and we give Kyle a hard time. And he deserves it for all the talk he did. But the thing is, 49ers, and we talked about this yesterday, Kyle, they still haven't won anything.
No.
Right. 49ers, they have not won a
And that's what it's about. They got to win something now.
Yes.
You got the emotional stuff out of the way.
Right.
It's about
then you can talk
Debo's
the trash all
it's about Lombardi.
Nobody can say anything.
It's about Lombardi.
Yep.
Yeah. Return of the Empire, Emil and Nate, next, right here on Sacktown Sports. Thanks for listening.